Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I'm sure you have seen the news at this stage about this story, about the outdoor rave that took place in Dublin over the weekend, with reports of between 60 and 100 partygoers attending. Now, footage of the party has been widely shared online, showing a DJ playing music to a crowd in the grounds of a residential flat complex in Dublin city centre. Now, of course, this incident took place on Saturday night, which was less than 24 hours after further restrictions were introduced into the capital, advising for no outdoor social gatherings under other than with two households of up to six people. So according to the Irish Times, Gardaí broke up the large gathering of young people at the Oliver Bond Street flats in Dublin city centre. In a statement, Gardaí said they responded to reports of a gathering at a residential complex and requested the crowd there to disperse. They maintained a presence in the area with a number of patrols conducted over the course of the evening, and said that no breaches of regulations were detected. Now, the Dublin Southwest Intercity Local Electoral District, which includes Oliver Bond Street flats, we were looking at this morning, has one of the highest rates of COVID-19 in the country. And the district had a rate of 163 cases per 100,000. That's the kind of statistics that we're hearing about at the moment, the per 100,000 statistics of population. And that was between September 1st and 14th, according to figures from the Health Surveillance Protection Centre. Now, today I want to talk about this mass gathering of people in Oliver Bond Street, and ask if you think there should be fines issued to those who attend. Now, there was confusion last night and early this morning as well around the story, because at first the Gardaí released a statement saying that they were not investigating the gathering. They said Gardaí are not investigating breaches of public health regulations by those in attendance. They said social distancing, wearing of masks in public and and other such guidelines are not penal regulations. However, it turned out that Gardaí earlier on today said that they are investigating the organisers of the event. And of course, there is a section 31A in the Health Act that was changed, of course, for the COVID period, which says that a person shall not organise or cause to be organised a relevant event in a relevant county, it says, right? So essentially, you can't organise an outdoor gathering, or you could, you know, there could be legal repercussions. Today, we want to talk about organising such an event, and when the County of Dublin, I suppose, has gone into level 3 with tight restrictions. Would you agree with fining people who actually attend an event like this right now, or would you be against that? Many people online have expressed their anger at the event over the weekend. They feel annoyed that they are limiting their contacts, not seeing family, and then watching an event of what appears to be up to 100 people take place. So I want to get your thoughts on this. Should people who attend a social gathering at the moment and break regulations be fined? So not just the people who organise it, which we now understand are people who can be prosecuted, but should the people who attend these mass gatherings now be fined? 1850 410 494, or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. Anne, you're first on this. Good afternoon, Anne. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Not too bad at all. What's your reaction to this?
I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah.
I think they must all be brain dead in Oliver Bond. Now, I lived in Oliver Bond years ago. It is. I mean, what's going to happen is people like them are going to go into the post office one day and there's going to be no money. Not for disability, not for lone parents, nothing. Because we're going to have the economic crash and there's going to be no money.
So what do you think, and I suppose it's unfair to say everybody in Oliver Bond is brain dead. I mean, there's a lot of the community who come out and said that they're completely against this. And unfortunately, yes, in a lot of communities like Oliver Bond Street, there is not a damn thing the community can do about these thugs organising events. And of course, now we know there's other investigations into narcotics and all that, but we leave that aside for the moment because we're talking about the COVID regulations. But the mentality, in your opinion then, Anne, around groups of young people who will do this, when the Taoiseach has come out and said that there must be no social gatherings and that we're at a turning point and breaking point in Dublin. What's the mentality, do you think, of these people?
I honestly don't know. Do they think that they're untouchable? You know, my husband's mother died in April from the coronavirus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and from March last year, even in the house, because I have chronic emphysema, I wore a mask and I hand sanitize every time I go out. What I don't understand is, what is it worse there, Don? Since you know, we have been on level three, it seems that people have got worse. If you were here last night and heard the commotion where I'm living, and the young people, and nobody seems to care what they're doing, nobody. I think they should get a fine.
Why? Were there house parties in your area?
Fireworks and, you know, a load of children on the road with these rockets.
Yeah.
You know, and no parents seemed to, you know, there was no adult, no nothing. I don't know. What is wrong with the parents? What is wrong with these young people? Because if this virus is affecting all of us. And look at the poor publicans and restaurants and that can't open properly in Dublin.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know under any other circumstances, nobody would care if they had a rave once they weren't, you know, interfering with other people and they finished at a decent time. But this is not a good time.
Yeah, I suppose this, in particular, the timing of it, is just a kick in the face to everybody. We all had, and look, no one likes our Taoiseach coming out to give these State of the Nation addresses. I think no matter how much you begin to live with this damn thing, when these big announcements happen, it does kind of, you know, release that anxiety in you. It's, for God's sake, is this going to end? Right, let's give it one more try. And then you see this, and you kind of go, it is a kick in the face. But
It is. And I mean, like, it's kind of like saying, well, you know, we don't give a damn what you say. You know, you're only speaking BS. So we're going to continue as normal, you know, as our lives were. Now, I want to, like, say that I didn't mean that everybody in Olive upon
the train. I know you didn't.
But what I meant was that these people that are attending and the person that was playing the music, absolutely, he should
get some sort of penalty. But I mean, I think that's the audacious sort of element to this, that whatever about having, and I know there's another story doing the rounds at the moment, that someone who went up to do their harvest up the hills or whatever came across a group of not so young people having some sort of party as well. So it's obviously not just isolated to Oliver Bond. But at least you could say that these guys I'm seeing floating around social media went up the mountains and they tried to hide it. These guys got a blooming marquee with a DJ in it, which is just...
Well, hold on. Like, 3 weeks ago, somebody put a marquee up here in their garden where I am.
Right.
I'm at the other side of Dublin and I could not believe it. Now, fair enough, they were quiet after such a time, but there was people going in all day long. People were staying there. People were coming out. They were at, like, a 30th birthday party.
Okay, well, hang on a second, Anne, because I want to speak to Fran. Fran, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Fran?
How are you doing?
So what's the story here? Should fines be dished out to these young people who are attending these events? What do you reckon?
Not a hope in hell.
Why?
Well, when you look at what the government are saying, right?
Yeah.
Look at the facts and look at the figures, rather than what they're trying to portray. The figures, like, I mean, 200 people with cases. Cases does not mean hospitalisation. Cases just means you had or have the virus. When you take that into consideration, 200 out of 5 million people is not bad. Even if you take the population of a million.
But you're talking about cases now. So we're talking about 200 to 300 now a day, not overall.
Cases. Yeah. They're just cases. There's no reference to what the cases are, whether they've had it and are still tested positive, or the false positives, or the false negatives.
Yeah.
So making figures up as you go along. Like, I mean,
okay, like, Fran, don't get me wrong, I'm open to debate on all of this, but as it stands, and those in charge at the moment of public health are saying that it is not that is not if you've had it, it is that if you currently have the virus. But I fully understand where you're coming from. There's lots of different debates happening about this PCR test.
There is one train of thought. Like, I mean, there's only one train of thought.
Yeah.
There is no other opinion except the government and NEPA. Now, you have other people who are saying totally different, who are not getting a chance to air their views. You have the likes of Sweden, who has been blackened just because they didn't do what Europe told them, but they seem to be doing all right without half the restrictions we have. What you have is you have scaremongering, and that's what people are doing. Yes, I do understand there is guidelines there. Follow the guidelines reasons, or for a government to turn around and lock down certain areas of Ireland, I think that is absolutely ridiculous and they should be got away with.
Like someone mentioned, I noticed there was an interesting debate on social media this morning in relation to lockdowns, right, and what a lockdown is, and whether or not Ireland has actually had this kind of lockdown term ever happen to us. Going around Dublin today, apart from being advised not to leave, and I would advise everybody, by the way, to adhere to the regulations, don't leave, let's get this thing under control so we can somehow get back to normal life. But it isn't a lockdown. By any stretch.
If you go back to March, to the start of this.
Yeah.
When Leo made his famous speech from America.
Yeah.
Everybody was, I would say, 100% behind him.
100%, because we were all terrified.
With the figures he was quoting. Since then, it worked out that the figures he was quoting was wrong. Now, they did not adjust the restrictions in relation to the figures they were talking about.
Fran, here's the problem, though. Nobody can categorically state that figures were wrong, because those who say lockdown should happen and happened will say that the figures now have come in line with what, you know, the outcome of the lockdown.
If you take the figures of deaths this year is not too far off deaths last year. The deaths have not increased. So if this thing is supposed to be so contagious, why haven't we got a major spike in deaths over
there? Yeah, but you know the argument. You know the argument that will come at you, though, because we had a lockdown. Right? Well, now, and by the way, you mentioned from the outset, you worry about people not being able to have an opinion that differs in any way. That is the one thing about this whole unfortunate situation we all find ourselves in. Is the lack of debate. I do find if you say anything or you question anything that isn't in line, I don't know what's wrong with your line there. You are in danger of having the hand slapped off you.
Yes, but look, I mean, you have to, like, say Dr. Marcus O'Brien, he came out and said it was wrong. You had another doctor there last week who came out and said it was wrong. Immediately they're struck off and there's investigations into them. Why is it all gung-ho but only one narrative coming from the government and the health experts? Mm-hmm. There's nobody allowed to question them. Now, when they throw out facts, like what they call as facts, like being 20 or 200 cases, 300 cases, they're not going into major detail with them. Like, I mean, I could have it 3 days ago and get tested today. That's me as a case. Or I could have it during the week. That's me halfway through it, but I'm still down as a case. The problem, I can see what the problem is, the most people in the Dublin area, they're actually losing faith and they don't believe what the government is telling them.
But let me ask you this, Fran, before I move on, right? Okay, your beliefs are that, and you're I think everyone's beginning to, you know, question, and we're all entitled to question things and all that, right? But are you adhering to the guidelines that have been set out?
No.
No, and how not? Are you wearing a mask in enclosed spaces? You're not wearing a mask.
No.
And have you had anyone challenge you about not wearing a mask?
No.
Are you social distancing?
Not really. No, I wouldn't say I'm social distancing at all.
Have you gone to any sort of mass gatherings, anything like that? Maybe behind closed doors, that sort of thing?
No, not yet.
Okay, but in a sense, you're living your life as normal as possible, apart from the restrictions that are put upon you.
I'm living my life as normal as possible, regardless of what the government say, unless they can prove beyond reasonable doubt that what they're talking about is actually the truth. What if you look at, we say, the opposite side of what you're seeing in mainstream media, this thing is ridiculous. I mean, as I said, I quoted the deaths this year to last year and the year before. There's not much difference in them.
Well, hang on a second. Paul, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Paul?
How you doing? How are you, man?
Yeah, look, it's dividing society. There's no doubt about it, Paul. On the one hand, there are those who just believe every restriction should be adhered to and get really, really furious at things like we saw in Oliver Bond. And then you get the likes of Fran, who just says, you know what, I'm not even adhering to the restrictions. I don't believe it's any worse than any other disease we've ever had, so let's just move on. Where do you stand on this, Paul?
Well, I'd ask Fran to have a look at the number of people throughout the world who are dead from this virus. And the number of people, who are affected with this virus. Maybe you should look at those figures.
Yes, the number of people affected. Why didn't the people?
Can I?
Yeah, one second. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Fran, you sound a bit like the idiots that marched through Galway last weekend, protesting against wearing masks. And I think it's people like you. And as long as we have people like you, we're going to be stuck with this virus. If people just did what they're asked to do for a couple of months or whatever it is, we might control this virus. We're not going to get rid of it until we get a vaccine, but we might control it. And Fran, another question I'd ask you, have you got family or do you feel responsible towards your family?
Well, Fran, can you hear us?
Yeah. No, I was just waiting for him to finish.
Yeah, no, he asked you a question. Do you have family and do you feel responsible for
them? Yes, I do have family. Yes, I do feel responsible.
Just in relation to what you said,
like, I mean, you're talking about the deaths that we had. How many actual deaths did we have from the people died of coronavirus? How many actual deaths?
I think we have coming on 1,800.
No, we haven't. If you actually look at do your research and look at the figures. The 1,800
people who died with coronavirus
and underlying conditions, not just coronavirus.
So if you actually look at the figures, the figures are around
100 mark.
You don't take the advice from the medical experts, no?
No, Fran, one second before you ask that, Paul, one thing I'd say, Fran,
and I think there's a danger in this. I don't mind debate at all, but you can Google search to suit your opinion as much as you possibly can. And there are enough people online.
It's produced by the HSA that the actual breakdown of the deaths.
Yeah.
Like only, we say, 100 people.
You're talking about this 100 people that died from COVID alone that was circulated online.
Yes, alone, right? Now, yes, I do understand we have in the region of 2,000 deaths, but that's 2,000 deaths with COVID and underlying conditions.
Okay, so how many people in this country do you know have an underlying condition? And when we talk about underlying condition, I don't mean 94-year-old cancer victim. I mean 23-year-old severe asthmatic sufferer.
I mean
35-year-old breast cancer sufferer.
And the time should we put into?
But if you were saying people with underlying, sure, it's only people with underlying conditions. Don't keep considering that only people with underlying conditions are very, very towards the end of their lives. Though that's the danger.
I didn't say only underlying conditions.
No, but
that gentleman quoted a fact, and the fact is only 100 people died of COVID alone. So to put a country or a county into restrictions over 100 people out of 5 million, I think is a bit extreme.
Oh, yeah, I want to check out that figure, by the way, because there's so much misinformation going, by the way, and I did see that circulating online, but let's roll back from that figure at the moment. We don't know that for absolute truth.
If you go on Google, you can get a figure that suits yourself. But one other question I'd ask, Fran, is did you watch the documentary RTE did in the hospital in Dublin there with the people... were dying from the virus. Did you watch
the documentary they did on the cancer patients? Oh, wait, they didn't do one on that. We're not talking about cancer.
We're talking about COVID-19.
You're asking me did I watch the documentary. You can make any documentary and make it as heartfelt as the one they did.
I think what he's talking about is the documentary where they showed poor unfortunates in Ireland in the hospital.
Yes, I do understand. Yeah, I do. I didn't watch it because, number one, it came from the government station. And
anti-establishment.
There is other things out there which is highly contagious and killing people day after day, not just COVID.
Okay.
Not on the scale this is doing. And by the way, people with underlying conditions, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to die. You know?
That's what I was saying. And that's a dangerous place for us to get to. Although I'm all up for debate and figures and facts and trade-offs and all the rest of it, just be careful the narrative of... You know, and I saw when I saw that figure come out and I saw the sort of celebration happening. Well, it's only 100 people. Clearly now we need to stop all this madness. Well, hang on a second. Just because someone has an underlying condition doesn't mean that they deserve to lose time off their lives.
My wife is one of those people that has an underlying condition and she doesn't want to die. But if Fran had his way, she'd be dead.
Well, no, I'm not saying, Fran,
oh,
you're not
no,
saying, no, no, no,
no,
I know.
No,
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 you're
no.
not saying people deserve to die or anything
you
like see, that.
You're not actually listening. Like, I mean, yes, no. I do understand you have to follow what these so-called experts are saying. But there is alternatives. There is other way of tackling this, which we have seen through the likes of, we say, Sweden, which didn't do as much as we say we did. You know, yes, I understand people with underlying conditions, but yes, we can make exceptions for them and do things differently around them. But locking down or restricting healthy people from moving around because of, you know, it's not sort of demeaning these people, or people with underlying conditions, why are we restricting everybody?
Okay, listen, I do have
people.
To move on. Just one more point to you, though. It is stated that 32% of people in Ireland have a long-standing health condition. Just so you know, that's a big percentage of people who are very concerned.
That's one third of the country. Yeah,
all right, well, listen, I do have to take a break. Hang on there if you can. 1850 410 494 or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. It's Mike Hogan in for Niall Boylan today, and we've gone off topic a lot there. To be fair, as does tend to happen, but we're talking about this rave. Well, they're calling it a rave. I wouldn't have called it a rave now, as to what I know of raves from the 80s and 90s. But anyway, it was certainly an outdoor party that happened in the Oliver Bond Street flat complex. And it looks to be between 80 and 100 people in attendance at it, a DJ and a marquee. The Gardaí now are looking into it for various reasons, but one of those reasons is to have a look at the organisers and whether or not to see can they prosecute them, because that is in law. However, what's not in law what is not there for people to be arrested or questioned is the attendance of it. So those in attendance aren't in any danger at the moment. But I'm asking the question, as this virus seems to get more and more serious and heavier in the numbers, should there be fines dished out for those in attendance of these mass gatherings in Dublin or any other county that finds themselves in level 3, 4 or 5 restrictions? 1850 410 495 or 087 188 0008. By the way, if you go onto the Niall Boylan Show Facebook page, you can see footage of this party, or rave as it's been called, right across the board today in Oliver Bond. I want to get your reaction to it. Should the people who attend these events that everyone gets so infuriated about during lockdowns and restrictions and so on, should they be punished in some way, shape or form? Because at the moment, it's not illegal to attend something like this. I would strongly advise you not to attend it, by the way, just because I'm saying on the radio it's not illegal. If that's news to you, don't suddenly decide you're going to go to some sort of rave tonight. Don't do it. Stick with us on this one. But should there be fines for those in attendance of events like this? So let me go to, we're going to go to Liam. You're live on Classic Hits. How are you, Liam?
How you doing, Mike?
Not too bad at all.
I just want to say, so I think everybody's picking on this place because of the reputation Oliver Bond has. And
okay.
It's ridiculous. Like, there was 100 people. Nobody's mentioned that the Dunleary Market had about, I'd say, easily 7 or 8 times that many people on Saturday. The place was absolutely rammed. But I don't hear people giving out about Dunleary. Or Marley Park this weekend was absolutely chock-a-block. And it wasn't kids, it wasn't teenagers drinking cans and smoking spliffs. It was adults.
Yeah.
Out drinking their Starbucks, now drinking their Costas, and now having their chatter and pushing prams around.
No, look, I get it. I get it.
And everybody's just like, oh, we'll blame Oliver Bond. This is a disgrace. Oh, because it's a county council, or it's Dublin City Council Residential Association, we'll just blame them and we'll throw aspersions towards them and give out about them.
I don't know. I mean, I think that if there was a video doing the rounds of, I don't know, Black Rock or somewhere else, Dalkey, Killiney, with a bunch of people at a rave. I do think it would go viral in the same way, Liam. Now, the commentary after it might be different, but I think people will be pretty cheesed off.
No, I think they're getting away lightly. Look, I mean, nobody here has rang up, bar myself now, to say about Dunleary. Nobody's rang up here to say about the fact. And here's one for you. Bray this weekend. People were reported to have driven from Swords to Bray to get a drink this weekend.
Mm.
There was reports of restaurants running out of food because they were so busy.
Well, we had this conversation in the office actually before coming to air, and I did say that. I did say, not in relation to the part, I'm not in agreement with sorting out a rave. It's just whatever about it, even if it's, you know, not as unsafe as you might think, it's a two fingers to their community. No matter what you think. Like, going to the shops or going to Marley Park is different. We've been doing that during lockdown anyway, even the height of it.
Yeah, but what?
But setting up a disco, a rave, come on now, it's a different story.
If having a rave is giving two fingers to the community, what's 800 people showing up at a market in Dunleary?
I know, but that's seven or eight fingers. Yeah, I never finished my point.
People driving from Swords to drink to drive back to Swords from Bray.
Not only are they breaking the rules
about leaving Dublin, they're also potentially drinking and driving.
Yeah, I never finished my point. Sorry, just one second. Will you let me just speak for one second? I never finished my point in saying that we were discussing it in the office, and I did point out how come there are all these restrictions in relation to restaurants and so on when you go into a big shopping centre or whatever and it's absolutely jammed. When I say absolutely jammed, that's a slight exaggeration, but there's no real room for social distancing. So I don't understand how they can call one thing a lockdown and then allow all these other things, or lock something up and not lock other things up. My only thought on it is that they have some sort of scientific medical proof that it is coming from the likes of restaurants and parties.
Well, there was three clusters out of the whole time that the restaurants were allowed open back up. Only three clusters were related back to restaurants.
Okay, but this was put to bed over the weekend. This was put to bed insofar as they're not looking at where the virus was. They're looking at where the virus is going. This was said by Professor Philip Nolan as well. He said that the reason you're seeing it in homes all the time is because that they're just testing in the home. So it becomes a home cluster. They're not going back to restaurants and pubs to find contacts, because they just can't simply do that. They don't have the resources.
Their assumption
through worldwide statistics and studies is that it comes from socialising, and the only socialising we currently have in an indoor setting in this country are restaurants and gastrobars, and from today onwards outside of Dublin, pubs, wet pubs.
Right, so, well, if you look at the amount of money being pumped into these restaurants and gastrobars to become more compliant, at least you can control the amount of people from the amount of households sitting at a table in a restaurant or gastrobar. At the moment, we can't control the amount of people going to my house or going to your house or going to Joe Blogg's house down the road and them having 10 people in the house or 15 people in the house.
Yeah.
At least if you open up the restaurants and the gastrobars and the pubs, you can then say, right, you have to have X, Y, and Z in place. You have to be certified.
Yeah.
And then you're taking people out of those house parties. You're taking people away from these raves. You're taking people away from Dunleary Market or Bray and people that are breaking the rules. And you're giving them no excuse.
Okay,
whereas at the moment, what we're doing is we're taking away a means to socialise and expecting everybody to sit there in their house looking at the four walls and running out of Netflix to watch.
Okay, fair enough, right. But let me ask you this question. Have you seen the footage of the Oliver Bond party?
Yeah.
Right, fine. Now, I don't think it's fair to compare Dunleary Market with a load of people in an outdoor setting, distancing as much as is possible,
and
Marley Park to a group of people in a cluster, essentially, on each other's shoulder.
To be fair, the Dunleary Market was practically like a shooting fish in a barrel. There was no social distancing.
Right, okay.
You couldn't social distance. They were jamming in there. Now, you know it sounds bad, but you ever see the meme of, there was a meme at the weekend going, the Dart to Bray at the weekend. It was basically from a Middle Eastern country where people
Yeah, I saw that.
That was basically Dunleary Market at the weekend.
Right. So what you're saying is these guys are getting a hard rap on this. They're no different, essentially, than the likes of Dunleary Market or Marley Park or any of those packed.
In fact, I would go so far as to say that they're better because it's only 100 people versus 700 or 800 people.
Yeah.
It's only 1/7 the size. Everybody's getting all bent out of shape about something that was 1/7 the size of Dunleary Market at the weekend.
But the fact of the matter is, I know, but the fact of the matter is that going to an outdoor food market, right, is not currently against public health advice.
No, but the amount of people gathering is against public health advice.
Yeah, absolutely, right? But there is no one essentially there to police that. So unless they're going to stick guards or bollards or whatever going into Dunleary Market, which maybe they need to do, or other markets or other public spaces or whatever. But you are categorically told that indoor or outdoor gatherings with more than one other family up to six people is not a goer. You don't do it. We're in trouble here. And then 24 hours later, you see this happening, which is literally the complete opposite. It's just the two fingers as to what was said. Can you not understand in that sense?
No, I can understand that, but you can't blame one area for a smaller number of people.
No one's blaming one area. We're just blaming the number of people.
But it's because it's Oliver Bond. If this was...
I don't agree with you.
I do. And
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you.
It's to pick on the little guy. It's the lowest hanging fruit in the tree.
Sorry, because you're from a deprived area, we should leave you alone no matter if you break regulations or not.
But you should treat people. You should pick holes in the same people out in Dunleary as that you're picking in the people in Oliver Bond. You shouldn't go, there's an easy target. There's a low-hanging fruit on the tree of the media. Pick on them and give out and show outrage and post videos. Nobody's talking about it. Like, I mean, the guards, I drove to Bettystown on Saturday. The guards, I drove past three or four guard cars. Nobody stopped me. Nobody asked me where I was going.
Well, I mean,
okay, I mean you can't give out about enforcing one side of the fence and then not enforcing the other side of it.
Yeah,
people are giving out.
I know, but do you know what? There's a danger in Ireland, and there's been a lot of talk about Sweden, and I've read a lot about Sweden, and I've read
Sweden
from Turgle. Just one second. Just let me make the point that in relation to Sweden, what they do say is that the population adhere to the guidelines. They're very obedient. If maybe that's the wrong word, but they'll say, do you know what? If you're saying that to us, fine. We'll keep our distance. Are we not supposed to go outside of Stockholm? Fine, we won't. Is that what you're saying? Grand. And they move on with life, right? But in Ireland, all you get is, well, it can't be enforced. What they need to do is they need to get guards now. People are going to pray. Just abide by the regulations. And we seem to have an obsession that the guards should have to have laws in place to stop us from spreading a deadly, we've been told is a deadly virus. Why are we so obsessed by that? Can we not just adhere to the guidelines and move on?
Well, the guidelines change every 5 minutes. What's the point?
They don't change every five. It didn't change every 5 minutes.
No, they set out a plan where the pubs were all supposed to be back open by the 10th of August this year, and Leo and all his buddies are all like, oh, this is our plan and we'll stick to this and we'll do this and then we'll be back to quote-unquote normal. Then they started accelerating it. And now they're backpedaling because they made a balls of it by accelerating. So now they're all like, oh, we locked down this country, we locked down that county and we locked down this.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that have spent 3 weeks in the UK, have been back here a month. Nobody's asked them where they've been. Nobody's asked them about quarantine. We've not controlled people coming from the States to go on holiday here. Places like people flying in from places like Florida or California, where this is rampant. We're not controlling any of that. We're not controlling the ferries coming in from the ports to go, where are you staying, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one person. The people are saying to quash the virus and get rid of it out of the country. I think New Zealand is a perfect example.
Before I take a break, I want to ask this question, right? Because I'm as tired as this in this as everyone else is. I'm exhausted even, you know, trying to debate the various different ways and the PCR tests and the RNA and does it really bring up... Right. With all that aside, right, why then do you believe that a government, right, you may think have their faults, but seem to be normal enough people with their own families and their own, you know, relations with various jobs and need to survive, based on our economic... stability, why then would they shut the capital city of their country down if they didn't think it was the best thing to do? Why? Answer that.
I honestly think they don't know what they're doing. 100% categorically believe that this government and NPD honestly haven't got a clue. They're changing things so quickly, they're not allowing anything to set in. I know somebody who works in the HSE.
Okay, well then, don't tell me that. Don't give me it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear. I know a man. I don't want to hear it.
I'm not going into that, Mike. I'm not going into that. What I'm going to say is they have told me that the test numbers are days behind. So even
well, I think that was even said last night that these were seeded the previous week or whatever, right?
Well,
let me ask you this question. And I have
turned around in 3 hours.
I have to move on. Are the UK in the same boat? Are Belgium in the same boat? Are Spain in the same boat? France in the same boat? Are Netherlands in the same boat? Do they all not know what they're doing? I'm just asking the question.
No, some countries are doing better than others. Yeah. And I think opening up the country is going to help.
Okay, well, listen, I do have to take a break. 1850 410 494 if you want to get in touch. Ruth, I'm so sorry. Ruth, will you hang on the line for me?
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks a million. Sorry, Ruth, I spoke so long there in relation to Oliver Bond and whether, you know, he thinks that they're just getting a bad doing here because of the area, essentially, and that he reckons that if this happened, if these raves or parties or whatever happened during lockdown in other more affluent areas, they wouldn't get the same doing over on mainstream media, as he calls it. Anyway, 1850 410 494. The question today is this, and we'll move on from COVID in a few minutes' time, by the way. The question is, should those in attendance of mass gatherings, which are now advised against, should they be fined? 1850 410 494 or 087 188 0008. Now, Ruth, how are you?
I'm good, Mike, thank you.
Grand. So, Ruth, there seems to be sort of some confusion here as to, I mean, I suppose they never did say Dublin was locked down per se, but some heavy restrictions. But then some people are saying, well, hang on a second, they're not exactly enforceable, so no one's going to take them seriously.
Sure, but I think, well, first of all, just to kind of, I suppose, like, talk back to some of Liam's points there.
Yeah.
This is not about which side of the river that you live on, by the way. And I actually was one of those people with my coffee pushing my pram around with my 8-month-old baby on Saturday in Marley Park.
Okay.
Because it is actually the only bit of normality that's left for us. Like, to go out in the open air. We're not out in a flat having a party, having a rave, whatever way it was described online. Those people are people with absolutely zero respect for what's going on in the country right now. And yes, fair enough, it's not actually an official lockdown like it was back in March or April or whatever. But there are guidelines put in place that need to be adhered to. And it shouldn't be a case where it's one rule for restaurants who have to close. Like, I know of a person who is a business owner and was stuck with €30,000 worth of food stock over the weekend,
yeah,
which he had to go then and sell at a market to try and recoup his losses.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, like, why is it that restaurants have to close then? They have to adhere to the rules, but somebody decides, ah, sure, look, we'll go ahead and have a party here in the flat.
Yeah.
And by the way, that could be also a house on the south side either.
Sure.
It's not happening.
Like,
though,
in relation,
the point is, it happened there.
In relation to the restaurant thing, by the way, I said it earlier on, but and I suppose it sorted a little bit of the confusion I had in my head. I was the same as everybody else. I was like, why? Why restaurants? Like, why bars?
Yeah.
But Philip Nolan and others came out to say that the assumption is that it's the socialising without masks in enclosed spaces that is causing cases, which is returning
to
home
places.
That's
what I would think. And I, even when you mentioned about shopping centres there earlier on, like, the only kind of differentiating factor that I can think of is the masks. Because,
yeah,
yes, it is. And, like, I felt it myself. Like, I went into my local shopping centre here yesterday evening. I had a basket full of stuff. I put it down and I left because there is a lot of people and it does still feel overwhelming. But I think the mask is the one thing that is probably protecting people. We don't have that in restaurants. So I think that's why shopping centres.
Yeah, and I guess you've got glasses and all the rest of it flying out onto the table and plates and cutlery being used by everybody. Okay, washed or whatever, but people using the toilet.
So far, like, restaurants have been fantastic. Like, anywhere that I've gone to for lunch or for a coffee, I haven't actually gone out for dinner or anything.
Yeah,
but I have felt safe pretty much. I'd say like 95% of the places I've gone to, I have felt safe, and I think restaurants have done a fantastic job.
Yeah,
but
me too.
It's an
absolute
slap in the face for them when 100 people can go and have a party in their own house. And I definitely think, like,
Now, bear in mind, this wasn't in a house now. This was outdoors. This party in Oliver Bond. It wasn't in a house. As far as I can see, it was outdoor. And I suppose that is what Liam's point was. Now, having said that, I think Liam's comparison is a bit daft. I mean, in relation to, and I've seen packed places as well. My first opinion on this whole thing was, well, if they're locking down restaurants and bars, why not? Like, some of the shops I've been in are very, very busy. Like, you know, and I can imagine if transmission is going to happen, it's going to happen. But having said that, so he's saying that, the two of them are comparable. They're not. This is a group of
people
on each other's shoulder shouting and roaring at a disco. So that's...
Of course. And then, like, when there's alcohol involved as well, people lose their inhibitions. They don't care. All of a sudden, they're brave. People get more huggy and kissy and whatever else. And it's a different environment. And you can't compare those two at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unusual set. No matter if you think that some parks or, you know, beaches or whatever are packed, you can't compare. And I would encourage everybody to go onto the Niall Boylan Show Facebook page and look at the video. It is a group of people on each other's shoulders. They're dancing. It's pre-COVID times. There's no doubt about it. So whatever you may think of that. But if anything, it's a two fingers to everybody who is trying
100%.
To adhere to this thing. Even if you don't loom and agree with half the restrictions, we're all trying to do what we can do.
Exactly.
You
it's
know.
Annoying and it's frustrating. And I hate the fact that you have to wear a mask now everywhere you go. But you do have to try and protect yourself and others around you. And it's selfish if you do otherwise. You know, like I said, I have a new baby and it's been completely the opposite of what I thought it was going to be when I was pregnant last year and all the things I would do with her.
Yeah, of course.
We've had to sacrifice. We've had to sacrifice not seeing family. We have to do it again because our family don't live in Dublin. Our families live in Louth and Meath. And we now, again, we're not going to see them because even though it's not the law, the guidelines are in place and that's just it. We're not going to invite them up. We're not going to go and visit them. So they're missing out on seeing their granddaughter again.
Yeah. Look, there is heartbreak all over the place. Like, I'm similar. I'm someone very, very close to me in hospital. and the visits can't happen, and they happen seldomly, and sometimes when a visit is scheduled, it's cancelled last second. And this is happening, and don't get me wrong, I'm not the only person in that situation. There's people who have parents in nursing homes and all this sort of stuff, which is really, really heartbreaking. Or like, you know, more than yourself with a new baby, but people currently having babies in hospitals where their partner can't go in even if there's difficulties and so on. And all this sort of stuff is happening. And I guess, you know, from these young people doing what they're doing, you know, it's just, it's a two fingers to all of that. You're like, do you know
it
what?
It really is. And that's my big problem with it. It's the lack of respect that's there. Because they'd be the same people then who, God forbid, none of them will end up with a bad case of COVID and they might have underlying conditions and need a bed in ICU. They'd be the same people then that are giving out about the HSE and that they can't get a bed in the hospital.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. Listen, I appreciate that call. Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks a million, Mike.
Take care of yourself. And thank you for all your texts and your calls and that. I'm sorry you didn't get around to even half of them. There's so many texts, so many WhatsApp, so many calls. But someone giving out to me about saying the assumption, they are assuming that it's restaurants and pubs. They should not assume, they should have facts. Well, there you go. That's a debate for another day. No doubt we'll have that. But yeah, that is the assumption at the moment through trends worldwide, that it's socialising, and they assume that maybe the socialising is then happening in restaurants. It's all assumption. I guess the whole thing is a guessing game to a degree. It's one of those things, isn't it? We don't have the answers. And for people who say, well, the governments and the health service don't know what they're doing, you know, to a certain extent, they would admit it themselves, but there's some things they don't know, because it's humbling to say you don't know sometimes when something like this comes along.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.